Our first lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter. Let us listen for God's word. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So our second lesson today comes not from the Bible, but it comes from a poem about the Bible. This poem was written by Ann Weems, who was a wonderful Presbyterian elder and poet and theologian. She died just this past year, I believe, but she has left behind a legacy of amazing poetry and prayers, and she wrote a poem about Zacchaeus, and we'd like to share it with you. And actually, what I'm going to ask you all to do is every time you see "according to the scriptures," that's your part. You say "according to the scriptures." Chip and I will take care of the rest. Zacchaeus, small and sinful, didn't want the parade to pass him by.
Zacchaeus, little and lost, climbed a sycamore tree to see this Jesus.
Zacchaeus, chief tax collector and cheat, was called by Jesus.
Zacchaeus, rich and ready to give, gave exuberantly, cheerfully, abundantly.
Zacchaeus, sought and saved, understood that stewardship is the thank you of the heart.
According to the scriptures, so do we.
So last week, our guest preacher, Rick Ufford Chase, who's the co-director of the Stony Point Center across the river and a former moderator of our General Assembly, he delivered what many of us found to be a challenging sermon about what it means to serve the Lord in our homes, our church, our community, and our world. Some of us were concerned about the political implications of his message. Many of us were challenged to think more deeply about what it might mean for us to walk in God's ways and to follow in Jesus' footsteps in today's world. If you missed it, I recommend that you listen to it online. What I really appreciated about Rick's sermon was how grounded it was in Scripture, how seriously Rick took troubling biblical texts, and how open he was to looking at the Scripture from new and different perspectives. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I am such a big proponent of Bible study for everyone here at this church. No matter how many times I have heard or read certain verses or stories in the Bible, I can always learn something new or something more about it. Sometimes I discover a whole new way of understanding the passage. Other times the passage takes on new significance for how I live my faith in the world. That's what makes the words of Scripture inspired by God. The Holy Spirit is constantly opening my eyes and ears, my mind and heart further, breathing new understanding into these holy words and new relevance for how I live my faith and life. It happened again just this past week when the Stewardship Commission got together for its monthly meeting. One of the co-chairs shared a poem for the opening devotion, the same poem that Chip and I just read for the second lesson. And I saw this story about Zacchaeus in a whole new light. It completely changed my week. Before Wednesday, I wasn't sure what I was going to preach on today, but I can assure you it was not Zacchaeus. And yet here I am. That is God's grace showing up where you least expect it, taking us by surprise and changing our plans. Before reading that poem, I had never thought of Zacchaeus' story through the lens of stewardship. And yet here we are. So let's take a closer look. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. These are the words that many of us learned as children. The story of Zacchaeus is a Sunday school favorite because children understand better than anyone what it's like to be shorter than everyone else and not be able to see what's going on. Most kids love the idea of climbing up in a tree to see Jesus. But Zacchaeus had a lot more going against him than just his height. Here's what we know about Zacchaeus. He was a Jew, and as a chief tax collector, he was rich. Zacchaeus lived in Jericho, which was a thriving oasis of a city along a well-traveled trade route through the desert. As a chief tax collector, he was employed by the occupying Roman government to collect taxes from anyone and everyone. It was a lucrative position if you had money to begin with. The Romans contracted with the local tax collectors for a certain amount of money, which had to be paid up front. Then the tax collectors went out and assessed the taxes on the people, usually charging more than was required and keeping the extra for themselves. For example, a tax collector could stop someone on the street and assess taxes on whatever was in their possession at that moment. If they were driving a cart, for example, they could be taxed for each wheel, for the animal pulling the cart, and for whatever was in the cart. And you thought our taxes were high. As chief tax collector, Zacchaeus was the supervisor over a whole cadre of tax collectors, most likely extorting extra money from them so that they in turn did the same thing to the people. As you might imagine, Zacchaeus was not a popular guy around town. In fact, despite his wealth and power, he was probably one of the most hated men in town, considered a traitor by his own people. Even though his name means clean and pure, as one preacher said, he had accumulated his wealth in service to the invaders and at the expense of his countrymen, and he was regarded as human filth. I'm sure the crowds that day were only too happy to block his view of the latest miracle worker coming through town. But for some reason, unbeknownst to us, Zacchaeus really wanted to see Jesus. It's a bit of a mystery, really, because in Luke's gospel especially, Jesus is no friend to the rich. In Luke's version of the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry." Just one chapter earlier in Luke 18, Jesus met the rich young ruler who wanted to know what he had to do to inherit eternal life. When Jesus told him to sell everything he had, give it to the poor, and come and follow him, the rich man was filled with sorrow, prompting Jesus to say, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." On the other hand, Jesus was a friend to tax collectors, just like he was to anyone else who was marginalized or despised by the community, all of the prostitutes and drunkards and all the other sinners out there. Perhaps that's why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus so badly, because maybe Jesus would be his friend and prove to everyone else that he wasn't such a bad guy after all. Whatever the reason, Zacchaeus really wanted to see Jesus. So badly, in fact, that he was willing to humiliate himself by running ahead of the crowd and climbing up a tree to get a better view. This was not the sort of thing anyone in his position would normally do. And lo and behold, not only did Jesus see him, but he walked right up to that sycamore tree and said, "Come on, Zacchaeus, hurry up and get down here. I'm looking forward to having lunch with you today." I don't know who was more surprised, Zacchaeus or the crowd, but no one could believe it. Although inviting yourself over for lunch is considered bad manners today, it was a huge honor for someone like Zacchaeus that someone like Jesus would not only speak to him, but come into his house and eat with him. And the crowd was shocked and dismayed. How could Jesus, a paragon of righteousness, associate with such filth? It made them want to lose their lunch. Zacchaeus didn't care what the crowd thought. He was thrilled, so overjoyed that he scurried down from that tree and welcomed Jesus into his home. Zacchaeus knew that he was far from perfect. So when Jesus came calling, he opened wide the door to his home and his heart, and he received the gift of God's amazing grace. This grace completely transformed his life, almost instantaneously. When the crowd was grumbling about Jesus' choice of a dinner date, Zacchaeus stood up and pledged to change his ways, to give half of everything he had to the poor, and to make amends for his shady business practices by paying everyone back fourfold what he had taken from them. God's grace inspired gratitude and generosity. Grace transformed Zacchaeus to live and give joyfully, gratefully, generously. When Jesus saw and heard the change in Zacchaeus, he declared, "Today, salvation has come to this house." It was a miracle, just like any of Jesus' other miracles, healing the sick, casting out demons, calming the storm, feeding the multitudes. Although the crowd probably didn't realize it that day, they had just witnessed a miracle, a camel passed through the eye of a needle. Grace inspires gratitude, which leads to generosity. I like what preacher Bill Wilson has to say about Zacchaeus' transformation. Something in that encounter with Jesus changed the way Zacchaeus saw the world. He could now see people in need, where before he only saw people he needed to fleece. Is that not one of the most dangerous things Jesus does to our eyes? He changes how we see other people. No longer do labels work. Poor, rich, Democrat, Republican, white, black, Hispanic, now we just see real people with real needs. He goes on to say, "Salvation comes to Zacchaeus' house, and he is forever changed from a taker to a giver." This man had made his living taking from others, and suddenly, after one meal with Jesus, he is giving money away like he's the United Way of Jericho. He writes, "As a pastor, I've observed it time and again. When Christ takes up residence in someone's life, we become generous. Somehow, Jesus loosens our grip on our wallet and our pocketbook. Giving becomes an opportunity for joy and gratitude, not just a requirement." Zacchaeus is the poster child for the cheerful giver that Chip preached about 2 weeks ago. He doesn't hold back. No 10% tithe for him. He goes right to 50%. And he goes above and beyond to make his wrongs right. Jewish law required that he pay back the money he had taken plus 20% interest. Not Zacchaeus. He pays back 400%. He is a changed man. He has seen Jesus. He has experienced the life-changing grace of God, and he is reorganizing his life around the values of God's kingdom, where the last are first, the weak are strong, the hungry are filled, and the poor are blessed with the riches of God's kingdom. Grace, gratitude, generosity. That's the pattern of life in God's kingdom. That's what following Jesus is all about. This week I came across a blog post by the Barefoot Pastor called 10 for 10, 10 Reasons It's Great to Be a Pastor. It was written by Reverend Sarah Schurschlicht of Alexandria, Virginia, in celebration and gratitude for the 10th anniversary of her ordination as a minister. I'm happy to say that after 21 years as a pastor, I still agree with all 10 of her reasons. In fact, reading her list reminded me yet again how grateful I am to be one of your pastors. 2 weeks ago, as I sat here in worship on All Saints Sunday, I was overwhelmed with gratitude. The adult bells had just played an ethereal arrangement of Amazing Grace, and the choir was singing an uplifting communion anthem. We had just welcomed a wonderful group of new members into the life of our congregation. As I looked around the sanctuary, there were people of all ages and ethnic backgrounds, children, youth, and adults, friends and families, worshiping together, singing, praying, listening for God, and looking for Jesus in our midst. I am regularly in awe of the talents and gifts that are present here within this congregation. We saw a lot of them yesterday during the food pantry and the arts and crafts fair, but there are so many. Music and artistic creativity, energy and passion, leadership and service, curiosity and commitment, handy men and women and amazing cooks, financial smarts and spiritual depth, people willing to give their time, talent and treasure to help others in need, to nurture faith, to serve God. I totally agree with Pastor Sarah that one of the best reasons to be a pastor is that you have a front row seat to personal transformation. On any day of the week, I can walk into this building and find the work of transformation going on around me. People gathering together to study scripture and grow in faith, overcome addiction, share food and fellowship, sing and ring and make music together, get their hands dirty in the gardens or with finger paints, hand out turkeys and toys, struggle with issues and support one another through grief, dream up new ministries, mobilize mission, build community, and make a difference in the world. I have often told my colleagues and friends that for 400 members, we act a lot more like a much bigger church with 1,000 members. This is an amazing congregation. You challenge, support, and inspire me every day. And I am so very grateful to be here as one of your pastors and to be following Jesus together with you all. I am truly blessed. We are truly blessed. Filling out our pledge card this year has been an act of joyful thanksgiving because it gives us all a chance to stand up like Zacchaeus did and put our money where our faith is, to pledge ourselves to the God we know in Jesus Christ, the God we know through this body of Christ, this fellowship of saints and sinners, this family of faith. We love because God first loved us. We give because we have received grace upon grace. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Amen.